fields and work her orchards up and down her Central Valley.
I have driven open highway through the golden Utah Valley, and I watch the rivers gently gliding. I wave my hand to friendly people.
California would not hold me, though I love her timber mountains. Worked her fields and worked her orchards up and down her Central Valley.
Folks who know me call me a drifter. They don't know I'll stop my rambling. They don't know that someday, somewhere somebody's gonna make me settle down.
I'm going home, Laura, I'm going home. I'm going home, Laura, I'm going home. Well, no matter where I wander, I know I'll always find a welcome at the end of every journey.
It's my very, very much pleasure to be introducing this next gentleman onto our Wonder Mag on Air show. Steve Barfield lives in Calhoun, Georgia, and he's going to be talking to you about what's going on down there next weekend. Steve, first off, since you are the organizer of the upcoming Touch of Mayberry show in Calhoun, Georgia, let's hear about that. What's going on?
Well, what we're doing, Dennis, is we're actually we're bringing in Charlene Darling, which is Maggie Peterson, and Ronnie Shell, which is Duke Slater. They're going to do a show for everybody, and it's going to be a blast. I've got a guy doing the national anthem, so it'll be real patriotic to start with. But we've got a bluegrass group that's going to act like the Darlings, and they'll play some bluegrass music. And then Maggie has a thing she's been working on where she will show clips of scenes of her from Andy Griffith Show, right. And she'll talk about them, and she'll talk about her career. And then when she finishes that, then Ronnie will do it's sort of like a stand-up comedy routine, but it's a full-blown tribute to Jim Nabors.
Oh, that's great.
But it's awesome. And then we'll finish up the show with Charlene singing "There's a Time" and "Salty Dog," and it's going to be a blast.
So a lot of great memories from the Andy Griffith Show for people who.
And of course, Ronnie Shell played in two Andy Griffith shows,
right,
also.
Right.
But he was Duke Slater, primarily in Gallup.
What he's known for. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the Gym Theater? That's where it's going to be held, right?
The Gym Theater. I've only moved up there about 2.5 years ago, so I don't know a lot about the history of it, but it's a beautiful place. It's it was redone like a lot of the old towns do their theaters, and it seats about 450 people, and it's just beautiful. And I know the background as far as the back wall, is old brick. Of course, I guess it'd be covered up with a lot of curtains and things. I just the place is beautiful. It's just beautiful. Very comfortable seats. I mean, it's just really nice.
Okay, Steve, I don't want to throw you off too much, but I had prepared some questions for you, and I originally did this a few days ago, and now I've got another. I guess what I did, I redid them tonight, and now I've got the originals back, so I don't think it'll throw you too much, because you know all this stuff backwards and forwards. But my next question was about it. It's a very fascinating story about how you got involved in all this, and I know it involves Don Knotts, so I'm just going to kind of let you tell me that story again, because you told me one night, and I really love that story.
Well, it's kind of a sort of embarrassing, I guess, because the way I am. But we lived about an hour and 15 minutes from where we're at now, our whole lives, and been married 46 years now, and I've always worried about Teresa shopping and all of this. So every Christmas, when she goes shopping, I always go, I hate shopping. And here it's almost like 20 years ago or better. We went to Christmas shopping, and we go into this mall. And as soon as we walk into the mall, there's a kiosk sitting there, and the guy is selling Andy Griffith VCR tapes, which I had never seen or heard of before. Mm-hmm. And so I sent my wife home, shopped in, and I stopped and sit there and talked to this guy. And of course, a couple hours later, she come back, and I actually had more trouble than she did because I bought every one of the tapes she had, and everything else she had had something to do with Andy Griffith. I had this big, typical white bag full of stuff, and I started to walk off, and the promoter, actually I didn't know his promoter then, the guy in the kiosk, he said, I'm doing a show with Don Knotts in Birmingham, Alabama, next month. Do you want tickets? Well, I couldn't get money out of my pants fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, and then he said he's also going to be signing autographs. So that's when the bell started ringing. So I bought those tickets. I started going to antique places. I mean, I did all, there wasn't eBay back then. But I went everywhere looking for stuff. And so this particular Saturday, when the show was going to happen that evening, there was supposed to be autographs at 1 o'clock. And they were going to do them at a mall there. And it was actually in Birmingham. And so I my wife and I were in line at 8:30 that morning. And he's supposed to be there wanting to do autographs. But I didn't want miss anything. So we get there, of course nobody's there.
Huh.
Well, around lunchtime, the promoter guy, he walks by, and me and her, we're still standing there with the line will be at. And he said, what are y'all doing? And I said, well, we're waiting, we're in line for Don Knotts thing. He said, what time did you get here? And I said, about 8:30. And so he just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. and finally people started, Barney would say he's a nut. Finally, people started getting there, and what they did is they put Don in a closed, it was a little shop that had closed, and a door in and a door out, and so they would farm us through, and we'd go through and get things signed and come out to the door. Well, I had my wife getting stuff signed right behind me, and then we made probably 10 or 15 trips around together until we'd get in the back of the line and go back through, and we kept doing that over and over and over. Until finally I got everything I brought signed. And then I didn't realize this, but evidently I was looking in the window at him. I got my hands above I was leaning into it, and I was looking in the window, of the whole shop. And I guess Don, he asked the promoter guy, he said, well, what is this guy? And then he told him about me buying all the tapes, about me getting there that morning at 8:30. And he knew how many times I've been through. And anyway, so Don Knotts then just kind of motioned, come on, it was on hand, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I turned around and looked and see if anybody was talking to me. And so, I peed in there, and that pretty much was the gist of it. He took a liking to me, and he just sort of mushroomed from there.
And you became his driver, is that right?
Well, what happened was, the promoters, and even doing this show that I'm doing, you wind up with a lot of stuff going on with the big promoters, like the two guys this first show I went to, they become real good friends of mine, and then I wind up meeting other promoters, and so they really, when somebody, especially a big promoter, they look for somebody dependable and somebody that they can trust, and somebody that can protect somebody, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of started that way, and pretty much he'd come across the Mississippi River, and one of them would call me, and then we'd pick him up at the airport and haul him around, and I was pretty much more his bodyguard probably than even the driver, because when he did autograph sessions and things like that, and that was really humorous too, because, Barney Fife needing a bodyguard, and I asked this promoter, I said, why does he need a bodyguard? Most of the time, when does he kiss him? And so, seriously, so I wound up, pretty much when he did autographs, I was behind him.
There's crazy people out there. You just never know, and especially nowadays, more so than back then.
More so than then. But then it actually went from not just Don, it wound up being pretty much all of them. I mean, we had an expedition at one point, and I had, in the expedition, I had all four darling boys. I had Charlene, Betty Lynn, Thelma Lou, and Ernest T. Bass in there at the same time.
Wow.
Now, can you imagine that? My wife didn't even ride.
Did you ever maybe at one point just it dawned on you, hey, look who I'm with. I mean, I'm in an episode of the Andy Griffith Show right now.
Well, it actually did every time. I mean, because yeah. I was so appreciative of it. But you know, really and truly though, when I would drive Don Knotts, and you know, and I've got a couple of pictures where I taught him how to step. You know, when he just grew up. I mean, I had Don Knotts sign some things. I know he thought I was just lame things, but. And I mean, I'd get limousines with him, you know, and have just piles of stuff for him to sign, and he never said a word. He just always my buddy.
Well, what was his personality? Was he just like he was on TV?
No.
Not as crazy, but.
That's a really good point, because everyone that I've ever met, especially even the Gomer Pyle people, the Andy Griffith people, they really didn't act very much. They pretty much on TV is really the way they were in real life. Uh-huh. But in real life, Don Knotts, he was quiet. He was extremely quiet, but extremely friendly and nice. I mean, he was just, man, he was so awesome. And if you think about Barney Fife and Don Knotts, that is two separate individuals that was created there. Because, you know, Don Knotts, if he'd played himself on TV, he'd been quiet and reserved and
right.
Applied, you know, but it amazed me that Don Knotts, and Barney Fife was the same person.
I don't know if you remember this, Steve, but he tried a talk show for just a brief while. It didn't go very long because I guess people wanted to see him, you know, play Barney.
Oh yeah, and you know, he never played Barney Fife after the last episode of the Andy Griffith Show. When he did Return to Baker,
yes.
It was the only time he ever did Barney Fife again.
But he really never got away from it, you know.
Well, everybody knew it. I mean, everybody called him Barney. When you go to the sheriff's offices, the police chief's offices, you know, all the police departments around the country, you can pretty much always see a picture of Barney Fife there.
On this next question now, this is my, you know, I'm just so excited about this because one of the stars of Touch of Mayberry is the legendary Ronnie Schell, who, of course, played Duke Slater on the Gomer Pyle TV series. He made many appearances, in the Andy Griffith Show and so many classic series for over 50 years. What's his life like today? And I guess he's still pretty busy.
Well, he's in his 80s.
Yes.
And he's in probably better shape than you and I. Well, I mean, seriously, and he works, and he does Lake Tahoe, he does Las Vegas, he does, you know, all these places, and he's just awesome. I didn't tell you this story the other day after I was talking to you. I was in California doing financial meetings, that's what I do for a living,
uh-huh.
and Ronnie knew I was there. And he called wanted me to go to dinner. Well, I was, you know, I had two meetings planned, but I didn't have some people with me. And so I wound up getting the other guys to do my meetings for me. And I went to this place called Jerry's Famous Deli with Ronnie. Okay, well, actually, Barbara Stewart, Miss Bunny, took me there. Okay.
Bunny on Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, Miss Bunny, right.
Yeah.
She actually took me there. And then I wound up and I spent the whole day with her that day. And then she took me to Jerry's Famous Deli. And I go in the front door, and there's a restaurant to the right and a restaurant to the left as far as, you know, tables and things. And then right in the middle of it was a big old red stairs for the red carpet, real wide stairs straight up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the guy, I was supposed to ask the Army's Army, which I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
And I asked him when they pointed up, and I said, so I go up there? And they said, yep. So I go up there, and they had tables set up in a big rectangle. And there wound up being 21 comedians at that table. The mayor of Los Angeles was there, and myself, we were the only outside people. But it was Dick Van Patten, Tom Poston, I sit next to Harvey Korman. I mean, it was every one of the, and of course, you know, Ronnie was on the other side, you know, and it was unbelievable. But Ronnie Schell has played parts with about everybody you can ever imagine on TV or in movies. I mean, he is, if you Google Ronnie Schell, his resume, I don't see how that one man can accomplish all he's accomplished.
He's never stopped working, has he? I mean,
he never stops.
No.
And he and I have just become, I mean, like when we hang up on the phone with each other, we tell each other we love each other. And we have been friends for a long, long time. And like when I did the Mayberry Bible study this past time, I would call Ronnie or I'd call Charlene. Everybody else is pretty much you know, gone to heaven or retired. Yeah. But I'd call Ronnie, and then Ronnie, he would even call back two or three times during the Bible study because he'd think of something else. I mean,
I can't wait to meet him. I'm just the way you've described him, and just the way I'm watching him on television.
That's why the show and these talk shows are important to me because when you meet him in real life, I know that you've been watching Gomer Pyle your whole life.
Oh yes, and I'm writing a book about it right now.
Well, let me tell you something. When you meet him in real life and you hang around him and talk to him and stuff, you'll never watch the show the same again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's of course Maggie, Charlene, the same way.
Yeah, you got Maggie Peterson coming who played Charlene. She's a hillbilly girl who was always after Andy, right?
Now, oh, yes.
What can you tell us about her? How's her career doing? What was her career?
Well, her career, she did news, several news with Andy. I mean, she's had a great career, but she, the only people that ever made any money for renewals on Andy Griffith's show was Danny Thomas and Andy Griffith. And so Don and all the rest of the cast members, they were pretty much, they did shows and autographs and things like that.
Yeah, that's how they make their money. I don't think people realize that, but this, how big is this nostalgia business? I mean, it's really big now. People really...
Well, in 2016, I've seen numbers that the Andy Griffith Show was the 60th most watched TV show, all TV shows, which is thousands. It was still the 60th most watched TV show.
That's unbelievable. Given the show came on in 1960, a lot of the people who love it today weren't even born.
No, but I tell people all the time that they should have their children watch the Andy Griffith Show. Their grandchildren, they should watch the Andy Griffith Show because it will help raise those kids.
There's one episode. There's so many episodes. They're all classics, but there's one that I say should be, and I'm a writer, that should be taught in writing classes, especially if you're going to write for television. That's one called Man in a Hurry. That's where the guy, his car breaks down. All he wants to do is get out of Mayberry. And before the episode's over, he doesn't want to leave. In fact, he stays an extra night or something like that.
Well, and to me, that's why the show is as popular now as it is, because everybody wants to live in Mayberry. And everybody lives in the world that man is from. And when people get a taste of, what it's like to live in Mayberry, even if it's just 30 minutes on TV.
And you've sort of found a little bit of Mayberry where you live, haven't you?
Yeah, the little town that I'm at, Calhoun, the whole county is a pretty good sized county. It's about 360 miles, I guess, square miles. But there's only about 55,000 people in the whole county.
Uh-huh.
And there's only about 15,000 in Calhoun. And the main street where the gym theater is, I mean, it just reminds you a lot. The people in there remind you a lot of Mayberry.
Yeah.
Just a lot of nice people.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, I really, this is a great thing you're doing, and I don't know what kind of future plans you have, but I guess you're just going to see how this one goes. And
yeah, well, I mean,
you did one before, didn't you, Steve?
I did one with Maggie and Ronnie, and that was about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And about, I guess, well, it was my birthday was actually during that week that I was with them. And we'd eat breakfast every morning, and on my birthday, Ronnie handed me a card, and he said to Maggie, well, but you didn't get any one, and she said, I'm not sure you did. And so anyway, they both handed me birthday cards.
Yeah.
I was blown away. Well, then Maggie, she said, I beat your birthday card all to pieces. She said, because there's some in the mail on the way to him right now that'll be here maybe by the time we leave that I promise you can't beat. And what it was her first trip.
Oh, wow.
When the Darlings came into town, uh-huh. And she hung out of the truck. And Amy just took it to Pretty Man.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually sent me that script for my birthday.
So you have that. You have that script, and I didn't mention this. How much you want to talk about the museum? But that's up to you if you want to talk.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's just as a matter of fact, the website. People go to the website and see the stuff.
Now, give them your website. How do they find that, Steve? Your website.
Well, it's just www.rememberingmayberry.com.
Uh huh.
Rememberingmayberry.com.
Okay.
I've still got a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, I guess I'm going to run out of time before the show starts. I've got a lot of stuff that I still need to get on the side, but I'm looking at it right now. a foot high of stuff that I still don't have on there, but I'm not sure I'll make it by the time the show comes around or not.
Yeah, well, I bet you've got a busy week coming up.
Yeah, well, like I said, I pick Ron M on Thursday, and I pick, I'm not a voter, I just petition the show on, like, so when as far as them picking them up, I pick them up, and I, you know, I take care of them, because they're my buddies, so.
Right.
And then Maggie, she just, I mean, who in the world as far as a male would have a crush on a Starling Darling a long time ago? I mean, everybody just loves Maggie.
Sure, yeah.
And you'll see, if you go to the website, you'll see a lot of pictures of her. And well, in fact, all of them, as far as Gene Carson, the Fun Girls, I used to always get them petting me on the cheek. And, you know, that was another real sweet lady that I just hate that she passed away already. Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely don't want to leave Maggie out. Of course, you know, the main reason I did want to talk to Ronnie was because of the book I'm writing, and he's like one of the last of the Gomer Pyle stars. There's about two more left, I believe, but besides him.
Well, he's awesome, and I wound up I've got a really good friend of mine. Goes to church with me, and he's in the military. He's a recruiter for the military. Been there over 20 years, and he has got me some old '60s Marine uniforms and the hats and everything. I'm gonna be running sign for me.
Oh, great! Yeah,
that'll look real good. I actually even had Slater, but even though in the show he didn't have his name on it. I've got a set of dog tags with Ronnie's name on it, and I've also got Slater on my shirt.
So you're going to surprise him with those?
Well, I'm not giving them to him. I'm keeping them for the collection.
Okay, yeah, your collection, yeah. But he'll be glad to sign them, I'm sure.
Oh, I know he will. Yeah. I remember one time I got into a limousine somewhere with Don, and we were headed somewhere. And I had a pile of stuff, and one of the things that I had on this particular day was an original script, No Time for Sergeants.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only thing that he really ever wanted, and I almost gave it to him, and then he actually changed his mind. He, you know, it's right there at the end. He said, somebody just get it or whatever. He said, just keep your collection. I said, well, thank you. But he really, really, he thumbed through the pages of that thing, and you could just see, because that's where he met Andy. That was No Time for Sergeants.
Right. They played in that movie together. And
yeah, they sure did. And the original script, I don't think there's a lot of those scripts around, I wouldn't think.
Probably not. You're talking about quite a while back, and who would have it, you know?
Well, that was in the 50s. Yeah. So.
Well, Steve, I'm going to tell you what. I hope people listening to this show, and this is going to go on the Wonder Mag on air on internet on Anchor FM. I hope someone will actually, you know, there's going to be a lot of people come to your show, but we're actually coming. We're driving 5.5 hours to get there, and we can't wait to get there. We're bringing there's four of us coming, and of course we're going to pay to get in the show. We're not going to come down here. you're being very gracious to us, and I appreciate it, Steve. I really do.
Yeah. The theater, they do all the ticketing.
Right.
And they charge a fee for every ticket sold. So even my family, I'll be paying. He won't be the full price of tickets for my family, but I'll be paying one.
Well, that's the way you do it. That's the way you should do it. You know. And
but finishing that up though, for me, it's just like for you to be able to actually talk to Ronnie and talk to Maggie, and for the people I go to church with, and the people that live around, just people that love the show, being able to say that they knew them and they,
right.
You know, I mean, it's just real special to me. It just, that's my grandson. He said, "Why are you doing this?" And I told him, I said, "Well, it means a lot to me, of course, to see him. But then again, it means as much for me." To other people to be able to see them, and because, you know, people don't have a lot to brag about anymore. They, a lot of people are in, you know, ruts. A lot of people are, you know, they just making ends meet, living day to day and things.
Right.
I don't know. It gives them something to brag about, something to look forward to.
Some do remember. I know I've met a lot of stars, and you know, I have special memories of all of them. Especially I have great memories of Adam West, who played Batman. I was able to meet him and Burt Ward, and and we corresponded back and forth. We only met one time, but we, you know, corresponded back and forth online, and he's since passed away. But he was great, had a great personality, great guy.
Well, he couldn't have been that bad if he hadn't been a great guy.
he really took that role, and, you know, he struggled with that, but in the end, he just finally accepted it. He said, well, I can't get away from it, so I'm gonna go with it.
Well, look at those villains they can get away from. I mean, Jethro from Beverly Hills.
Right, Max Baer, another example, yeah.
Yeah, well, and he was doing on Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
He was the same way.
Yeah. Well, Steve, thank you very much. This is gonna conclude the interview. I may talk to you here for a few seconds afterwards, but this will be heard next week on Wander Mag on Air, and we're also playing your ad, so we may not get one person out, but I sure hope we do, and people in Calhoun can hear it because it's on the internet. So.
Well, you're a nice guy, buddy, and I'm looking forward to meeting you and
your family. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to meet you and your wife and the people of Calhoun, Georgia. I mean, they're just as important as any stars that's coming there.
Well, it's gonna be fun.
You're a star, in my opinion.
No, I wouldn't go there.
And I'm so glad that you didn't give up on Don Knotts, and he invited you to come inside and talk to him. And that's sometimes what you have to do, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you know how many times he said Ernest C. Bass was a bad. I don't know what else he thought about. You know,
but, right.
I was a big old guy, and he said, "Go out to me." And I got actually, you know, one of these days, if you'll do this again, I've got several stories of stuff, stupid stuff I did with him. It's just funny.
Okay.
So we'll do it again one day if you want to.
We'll let you go on this one, Steve, but I'll see you next week, okay?
Okay, buddy. I'll be safe coming down.
Okay.
Everyone loves the Andy Griffith Show. Hi, this is Mark McCain, formerly of 96 Rock's Wake Up Crew, inviting you to join me as I host A Touch of Mayberry on Saturday, June 30th at Calhoun's Gym Theater. You know, all the ladies loved Sheriff Andy Taylor, but no one more than Charlene Darling, Maggie Peterson. She will be there with us, along with Ronnie Shell, who played Duke Slater on Gomer Pyle, USMC, and has had just an incredible career as a comedian. Of course, A Touch of Mayberry is a family-friendly show, so come on down. For info and tickets, call the Gym Theater at 706-625-3132 or go to info@calhounggymtheater.org. There will also be an autograph session, so be sure to get your little piece of history from these great shows. Again, it's Saturday, June 30th, 7 p.m. at Calhoun's Gym Theater. This is Mark McCain. And I hope to see you there.
And now we've got a special deal for everybody out there who likes to eat. It's a pretty tasty deal. I think that probably includes everyone in the sound of my voice. And we have a game we'll be playing here on Wander Mag on Air. It's called Restaurant Roulette. And this is how it works. We're going to be featuring restaurants in all 13 counties that we're going to cover. And that includes Edwards, White, Wayne, Wabash, Franklin, Gallatin, Jefferson, Hamilton, Saline. I probably left somebody out because Clay County, of course. Just so many counties we're covering, it's hard to remember all of them. But anyway, all 13 counties, they all have restaurants. And you can win a couple of free meals. And this is how you play it. We're going to give you a prompt at some point in the show. And when you hear that prompt, we're going to say you be the fourth person to email us, the fifth person, the ninth person, whichever it is. You just send us an email saying, I heard your prompt or put me in. Anything. Just say your name for Restaurant Roulette. And we're going to get you. By doing that, you're going to get your free dinner, two free dinners, that is. Our address is Wander Mag 2003, that's the number 2003, Wander Mag 2003 at yahoo.com. So we don't have everybody signed up yet, but we're going to work on it. And what will happen, we'll do is, wherever you happen to be, if that's where you want to go, We'll pair you up with a restaurant in your area. Now, if you want to go someplace 50 miles away, that's fine, because you can pick any restaurant on our list. And we're going to be working on getting that list all summer. And hopefully by fall, we'll have a lot of places to choose from. For Restaurant Roulette on Wonder Mag On Air. Our email address is wondermag2003@yahoo.com. Keep listening and keep playing.
Back last October, I believe it was, we was going to hold a tent service off at this college town. And we got there about dinner time on Saturday. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, "Get something to eat here." And I went up and got me two hot dogs and a big orange drink. And before that I could take every mouthful of that food, this whole raft of people come up around me and got me to where I couldn't eat nothing, up like, and I dropped my big orange drink. I did. Well, friends, they commenced to move, and they want so much that I could do but move with them. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all, and I looked up over one of them, and it says North Gate. And we kept on going through there, and pretty soon we come up on a young boy. And he says, "Ticket, please." And I says, "Friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going." I did. Well, he says, "Come out as quick as you can." And I says, "I'll do her. I'll turn right around the first chance I get." Well, we kept on moving through there. And pretty soon, everybody got where it was that they was a-going, because they parted, and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these two banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. And somebody had took and drove white lines all over it and drove posties in it and I don't know what all. And I looked down there and I seen five or six convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-sitting got up and hollered. And about that time, 30 or 40 come running out of the other end of that outhouse and the other bank full, they got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, "Friend, what is it that they're hollering for?" Well, he whopped me on the back and he says, "Buddy, have a drink." Well, I says, "I believe I will have another big orange." And I got it and sat back down. And when I got down there again, I seen that them men had got in two little bitty bunches down there. They had rail close together. And they voted. They did. They voted and elected one man apiece. And them two men come out in the middle of that cow pasture and shook hands like they hadn't seen one another in a long time. And then a convict come over to where they was a-standing, and he took out a quarter, and they commenced to odd man right there. They did. Well, after a while, I seen what it was that there's odd manning for. It was that both bunches full of them men wanted this funny-looking little pumpkin to play with. They did, and I know, friends, that they couldn't eat it because they kicked it the whole evening and it never busted. But anyhow, what I was a-telling was that both bunches full wanted that thing. And one bunch got it, and it made the other bunch just as mad as they could be. And friends, I seen that evening the awfulest fight that I have ever seen in my life. I did.
They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all. And just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another one. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, "Ticket, please," he come up to me and he says, "Friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket." And I says, "Well, all right." And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the oven without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.
Don Knotts, who played the one-of-a-kind Barney Fife on The Andy Griffith Show, left the show in 1965 for a movie career. Now, the first few films he made, I thought, were very, very funny. The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, The Reluctant Astronaut, and The Shakiest Gun in the West. Now, the last one I mentioned was the one that probably had the most memorable theme song, sung by the Wilburn Brothers, although I do like that spooky piano music, the one that played by itself in The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. But let's hear the Wilburn Brothers right now from the Don Knotts 1968 film, The Shakiest Gun in the West.
He's corny as cornbread, seedy as grain. He came out west on a northbound train. The crooks die laughing, but they're dead just the same. He's the shakiest gun in the west. Yeah, he's the shakiest gun in the west. He's got a phony pony that was made in Japan. He rides in the saddle like an elevator man. He's an underfoot, tenderfoot, king of the mess. He's the shakiest gun in the west. Yeah, he's the shakiest gun in the west. Fight a stance for rights, both day and night. He may lose the battle for a while, but he'll win the fight. He's a humdinger, a western swinger, but he has a little trouble with his trigger finger. When he takes aim, if anybody's guess, he's the shakiest gun. He's got a 10-gallon hat and a half-pint chest. He's the shakiest gun in the West. Yeah, he's the shakiest gun in the West. But he stands for rights, both day and night. He may lose the battle for a while, but he'll win the fight. Yeah, he stands for rights, both day and night.
Anything about us lately?
No, not since yesterday morning. Said he was leaving town.
Leaving town?
Mm-hmm. He came in for a shave, twice over, too. That means he'd be away for quite a while.
Well, didn't he say where he was going?
Oh, well, they told me just where he was going. He and I are very close, for years, just like brothers. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You say he said where he is going.
Well, sort of naturally would. We were great pals.
Floyd?
You know, I was just like a big brother to him. You know what he last week? I was taking him home, and he fell down a well. He thought he was in quicksand. I got him up, though.
Boy, where did he go?
Well, we went right home. After all, it was soaking wet. Boy, you fall down a well. You would. What about yesterday? He came in for a shave.
Boy, you told us that.
And he said he was leaving for... Was that now?
Was it Sour City? He's got people up there.
No, not Sour City.
Bridgeton?
No, not Bridgeton.
Boy, this is important. Will you please concentrate?
You bet I will. Let me see.
Was it Raleigh?
Oh, no, he wouldn't go to Raleigh. Do you know what they charge for things in those big cities?
Yeah, Floyd, an arm and a leg.
And an arm and a... Oh, that's funny. See, I want to remember that. You hear that on TV? Was it by any chance Mount Pilot? Ah! That's it. Mount Pilot. That's where he said it was going. I knew I'd get it.
Thanks, Floyd.
Yeah. Oh, fine. See if you find it. Would you tell him to pop back every couple of weeks?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want him falling in the hands of a strange barber.
The Dillards, of course, played the Darling Boys on the Andy Griffith Show. I don't think they ever said a word in the whole series, but they take out their instruments from time to time and they would play a great song. We're going to hear a couple of Dillard songs right now. The first one we're going to hear is one of their older songs. It's a traditional bluegrass song. It's Buck and Mule. And then we're going to hear a more recent song they did, which is not really recent, but I mean several years after the Andy Griffith Show went off the air, maybe in the 70s or 80s. It was called A Whole World Round. So here's those two songs for you now.
Grandma had a muley cow, muley when she was born. It took her every 40 years to fly from horn to horn. Whoa, mule, whoa, whoa, mule, I say. Ain't got time to shoot now, mule, run away. Grandma had a yeller hen, yeller as gold. Set her on three buzzard eggs, she has not one old crow. Oh, you were born, oh, you, I say. Ain't got time to shoot now, you has run away. Just wise, I just do stay cool. I ain't got time to kiss you now, I'm fooling with this mule. Whoa, mule, whoa, whoa, mule, I say. Ain't got time to kiss you now, mule, and run away.
It's your turn, why don't you sing?
I'll never marry an old man, I'll tell the reason why. Her lips are all the back to shoes, her chin ain't never dry. Only will I say, ain't got time to shoot now, I'm gonna run away. City life, others crave the town, but I'll be bound for the moment.
lonesome woods where I can settle down. Fiddle and a bow and the firelight's glow, you can hear that lonesome sound. I'll leave behind my trouble and mine, go the whole world round. Comes an eagle nest alone. 100 miles from a wagon track is where I'll build my home. Fiddle and a bow and the firelight's glow, you can hear that lonesome sound. I'll leave behind my trouble in mind, go the whole world round. The Arkansas woods, and there I'll settle down. Fiddle and a bow and the firelight's glow, you can hear that lonesome sound. I'll leave behind my trouble in mind, go the whole world round. Fiddle and a bow and the firelight's glow, you can hear that lonesome sound. I'll leave behind my trouble in mind, go the whole world round.
While we're playing songs by artists and groups that do these silly type of songs, I want to play you something by the Geeson Slaw Brothers. I'm sure you, many of you have never heard of them, but they've been around since the 1950s. They once opened for Elvis Presley. They were regulars on the Louisiana Hayride radio show. In 1961, Arthur Godfrey invited them to be on his show, and that gave the duo their big break. After that, they did a record for Columbia Records called, it was a The Kooky World of the Geeson Slaw Brothers. It was in 1963. They went to New York City and they changed over to Capitol Records and recorded 4 more albums. But these guys are pretty funny. I heard them first in the 1980s. So let's hear something by the Geeson Slaw Brothers.
Blue jeans with a bleached blonde bomber. He looks like a barroom queen. He's got a beer gut belly, but he walks tall and proud. And if you try to get smart with him, he'll punch you out. He kicks, he pumps gas, he drives a 65 T-Bird and runs real fast. He's food hall chili. Drinks what you got on ground. He's got a pickup truck. He loves to. If you need a woman, he'll fix you up. He's an all-American redneck, but he's got class. Just bought a brand new electronic stereo. He got a deal to Sears from a salesman that he knows. He's got all the latest country western hits. Cause he thinks long hair music is a bunch of. He kicks, he smokes grass, he drives a 65 T-Bird. He runs real fast. He
And that was brought to you by the Committee to Free Larry Myers.
Williams led a happy life compared to me, and Merle Haggard's had only good luck with the law, far as I can see. Now I've got a drinking problem that'll make old George's look small. So how come you've heard about all of these guys? You don't know me at all. It's 'cause when Merle and Willie get their hearts broke, they sit down and write a hit song. They turn their depression into money. It's a crying to the bank syndrome. So if you feel dumped on and over the hill, don't end up sad, broke, or scarred. Turn it into a concept album. Get rich and win you an award.
Next band we're going to hear a couple of songs from were inspired by the Dillards, and that is the band called the Austin Lounge Lizards. They were formed in 1980, and they do sing some truly strange songs. We're going to start out with this one here called Get a Haircut, Dad.
To Nashville, they walk the downtown streets,
They say the car Hank died in. Then they grab a bite to eat. They visit Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, Ernie's record store. Then they stagger on up to Music Row, where they holler at every door. I want a ride in the car Hank died in. I want to stretch out the back of that big old Cadillac, ride that shiny car to every honky-tonk and bar. The barroom walls are shining with the pictures of the star. The pawn shop walls are cluttered with broken dreams and old guitars. The barrooms are filled with singers. Their voices are full of pain. Their songs are all about Nashville, and each sings the same refrain. I want to ride in the car Hank died in. I want to stretch out the back of that big old Cadillac, ride that shiny car to every honky-tonk and bar. I'll take that. Empty space up on Opry Place. They tore the church house down. The choir ran screaming away with the circus to that tent show outside town. Their air-conditioned big top is all carpeted inside. To see them sing their song down in a spotlight where you'd never know they cried. I want to ride in the car Hank died in. I want to stretch out the back of that big old Cadillac, ride that shiny car to every honky-tonk and bar. I want to stretch out the back of that big old Cadillac, ride that shiny car to every honky-tonk and bar.
The late Keith Whitley was brave enough to record a Geese and Slaw Brothers song. Here he is singing, "If you think I'm crazy now, you should have seen me when I was a kid."
I've been wild since I can't remember when. See me out most every night with a dissipated grin. All my life I've been liable to loot and loud, but now I think I'm finally wearing down. Well, I may rock and I may roll, I may sleep out in the cold, but I can still stay 6 days in a row. But I know the things I do don't compare with the things I did. If you think I'm crazy now, you should have seen me when I was a kid. I stayed out nights and I started fights and wore out two bars too. All these years, well, it's been bedrooms, bars, and beer. But now the end is finally drawing near. Well, I may rock and I may roll, I may sleep out the cold,
still stay up for 6 days in a row. But I know the things I do don't compare with the things I did. If you think I'm crazy now, you should have seen me when I was a kid. If you think I'm crazy now, you should have seen me when I was a kid.
It's quite possible Peeker and Bowden wrote this next parody about nobody else but Mayberry's own Otis Campbell.
You know, we mentioned that in country music there are a lot of cheating and drinking songs, and we did a cheating song for you.
So guess what? You're right. We're going to do a drinking song for you now. Yeah, by the way, this particular drinking song, we cheated on. Take the rose bush from my hair, shake loose all them little thorns. What's the sprinkler doing on so damn early in the morn? Crawling home at 5 a.m. Lord, this sidewalk sure is hard. Guess I drank too much again. Help me make it through the yard.
I don't know what's right or left. I'm too drunk to even stand. Why the devil won't you help me? Please take your foot off of my hand.
Some coffee on the stove. Now we'll go try to find your car. I can't hack it all alone. Help me make it through the yard
and get my lawyer on the phone. Help me make it through the yard.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Another fellow I can imagine having a snoot full with Otis Campbell once in a while would have to be the great Ben Colder. Here's his version of The Green, Green Grass of Home. Sounds a little bit different than Porter's.
The old hometown looks the same as they kicked me off the train. It is the same. I just left yesterday. And here to meet me is, hey, where's everybody at? They're supposed to be here. Down the road I look and there runs Mary. No wonder she's in such a hurry. I always chase her through the green, green grass of home. Oh, they never came to see me. They didn't even know I was coming. It wasn't properly publicized. But it's nice to touch the green, green grass of home. I tried to smoke some of that stuff once. The old outhouse is still standing. What'd you expect it to do, walk? It could. And there's the old oak tree that I once fell out of and broke my jug. Down the lane I stumble. I ain't in no hurry, 'cause I'm gonna cut across. Oh, Mary, I'll catch her in the green. this green grass that was halfway up to your knees. And I used to reach over and I'd pull on your pig's tail. What'd you ever do with that little old fat pig anyway? And I remember what you showed me one time, where your daddy hid his moonshine here beneath the green, green grass of home. Yes, they all came to see me. I couldn't see them, but they sure saw me. I was crawling through the green, green grass of home.
Everyone loves the Andy Griffith Show. Hi, this is Mark McCain, formerly of 96 Rock's Wake Up Crew, inviting you to join me as I host A Touch of Mayberry on Saturday, June 30th at Calhoun's Gym Theater. You know, all the ladies loved Sheriff Andy Taylor, but no one more than Charlene Darling, Maggie Peterson. She will be there with us, along with Ronnie Shell, who played Duke Slater on Gomer Pyle, USMC, and has had just an incredible career as a comedian. Of course, A Touch of Mayberry is a family-friendly show, so come on down. For info and tickets, call the Gym Theater at 706-625-3132 or go to info@calhounggymtheater.org. There will also be an autograph session, so be sure to get your little piece of history from these great shows. Again, it's Saturday, June 30th, 7 p.m. at Calhoun's Gym Theater. This is Mark McCain, and I hope to see you there.
Well, that's going to close out Wander Bag on Air, show number 70. And I want to thank our special guest, Steve Barfield from Calhoun, Georgia. He's the organizer down there putting on A Touch of Mayberry. And I know that may be a bit of a trip for our local listeners, but I'm going to tell you what, there's four of us going, and I can't wait to get there. So Steve Barfield, A Touch of Mayberry, going to have Maggie Peterson, who was Charlene Darling, and Ronnie Shell, who played Duke Slater on the Gomer Pyle show. It's going to be a great time. I wish you could be there. And we played some Andy Griffith-related songs, some funny songs. And, you know, it's just a pleasure doing this for you. Wander Mag on Air, heard on Anchor FM. We're going to close out with one last song.
It's sure depressing. Well, this world is in a mess and it don't get better. Terrorism's in fashion and making love can kill you. Oh, but I have found a better place to go. We're all living in the shadow of the bomb, tuned in to the lifestyles of the rich and greedy. Oh, but meanwhile, back in Mayberry, no one says the F word. Thank God for the reruns on the Andy Griffith Show. Angie's letting Otis out of jail. Gomer's helping Goober drive the nail. Oh, and Ronnie's looking for his bullet. You better watch out for your toes. I wish life was like the Andy Griffith Show. Now they're dealing in souls on the airwaves. All them false prophets trying to make a buck. But old Floyd the barber, he just goes on trimming hair. And we ain't heard the last of Ernest T. Bash, you know. The Andy Griffith Show. Ain't bees cooking lamb and turnip greens. Everyone dance while the darlings pick and sing.
Yeah, the days to get worse. To go fishing, don't you know? I wish life was like the Andy Griffith Show. Thelma Lou told Juanita to call Helen Crump. Then round up Clara and Emmett and Howard Sprague. There's a town meeting, Talent and his office. Barney's gonna try to take us all back in time to the Andy Griffith Show. The biggest hassle there was making moonshine. They sat swinging on the porch with an easy mind. Maybe it was unreal, but when this world blows, I hope I end up on the Andy Griffith Show. I wish life was like the Andy Griffith Show. Well, this world is in a mess and it don't get better. Terrorism's in fashion and making love can kill you. Oh, but I have found a better place to go. We're all living in the shadow of the bomb. Tuned in to the lifestyles of the rich and greedy. Oh, but meanwhile, back in Mayberry, no one says the F word. Thank God for the reruns on the Andy Griffith Show. Angie's letting Otis out of jail. Gomer's helping Goober drive a nail. Oh, and Ronnie's looking for his bullet. You better watch out for your toes. I wish life was like the Andy Griffith Show. Now they're dealing in souls on the airwaves. All them false prophets trying to make a buck. But old Floyd the barber, he just goes on trimming hair. And we ain't heard the last of Ernest T. Bass, you know. The Andy Griffith Show. Ain't bees cooking lamb and turnip greens. Everyone dance while the darlings pick and sing. Yeah, no bees digging worms to go fishing, don't you know? I wish life was like the Andy Griffith Show. Thelma Lou told Juanita to call Helen Crump. Then round up Clara and Emmett and Howard Sprague. There's a town meeting, Talent and his office. Barney's gonna try to take us all back in time to the Andy Griffith Show. The biggest hassle there was making moonshine. They sat swinging on the porch with an easy mind. Ooh, baby,